Welcome back to episode 36 of the Run It Three Ways podcast. Tom and I are back from the World Champs in Budapest to tell the lucky Callum all about it. In today's episode, we'll share what it's like to be there on the ground, as well as talk you through our usual training weeks. On a Thursday lunchtime, boys, welcome back to the pod. How are we?
Hello, boys.
Nice to see you again. Nice to speak to you again.
Isn't it mad
Yes,
that
indeed.
we've never recorded one of these on video call yet? So we've never actually seen each other while we've been recording.
Yeah, it's probably for the best right now because I don't know what it is. Have you boys ever had an eye infection?
No.
An eye infection.
No.
Yeah. Oh, flipping heck. Well, my
You got
eyes are a bit
conjunctivitis?
swollen and a bit sore. I don't know. It just happened when I come back from Budapest.
Oh,
It's
no.
quite uncomfortable. So I'm currently sat here wearing Samantha's sunglasses.
Oh, that,
As you
I thought
yeah.
that was just a joke for the group chat. You actually got them
No.
on.
Yeah. I've
Why
been
do you
wearing
need
them
to
all morning.
wear sunglasses?
Well, because it just feels a bit uncomfortable to have my eyes open.
Looks
So
like
I
you've been on like a 2 week bender and you need to
Yeah.
stop the sunlight from going in your hungover eyes.
You need to get an
Yeah.
eye patch.
Yeah, that'd be good actually. Run it three ways eye patches. How
Oh,
about
that would
that?
be pretty
Pretty
cool.
much. But yeah, that's me at the moment. I feel a bit battered to be honest after Budapest and stuff. I think it's finally caught up.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, I was in the same boat. Body feels absolutely broken.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been
Long
a
days, not enough sleep.
it's
It's
been
good
a
fun though.
it's been a tough one, lads. My left fingers from changing the channel on the TV are just fucked. Like the switching between, you know, when they go from BBC Two to BBC One about 8 o'clock
Nightmare.
and your hand's just like, oh, not again, I'm absolutely knackered, mate, you know? If
You've got
only
to
I
find the remote, and that takes half an hour.
Yeah, if only I was in 30-degree heat on my jollies watching this live. Oh, damn it, this is a hard life. Oh, I've
Yeah.
actually got a great story to tell about one of the World Champs races and where I watched it, but I'll save that for my week, boys. But
Okay,
yeah,
we'll look forward to that.
as I just sent a message into the WhatsApp, just for the benefit of the listeners, this episode, because I've got time constraints and also we've got a million stories to unpack because we've not spoken to each other really since Tom and Ben have been off doing their thing. We're not going to do any listeners' questions in this episode because we probably won't have time, but we're going to go through our training weeks and then also just mix in some of the results. It's going to be a bit of an ad hoc episode, but as the boys talk about their experiences, we'll probably just mention the race results as we go through rather than doing a individual section, or it's just going to end up repeating ourselves loads. So yeah, without further ado, boys, which one of you is going first? Try and when you talk about your training, try and talk us also through where you did it, because I'm intrigued to know what it was like out there.
Yeah. All right. Well, I can kick things off with training last week because there wasn't that much of it, unsurprisingly. So I'll talk mainly about like training first, and then we can get into some Budapest antics. But I only ran twice last week. I was meant to run four times, but it just, yeah, for numerous reasons that didn't happen. So only ran twice. One run was 50 minutes, and the other was about 45-ish minutes. One of them I did at home down the canal, and the other one I did around Margaret Island, which I'm sure is going to get a fair old mention on this podcast, Ben. But for those who don't know, Budapest, bloody hell, what a place. I've been there a few times, but never to run, so I don't feel like I've ever really like seen it in the same way as you see a city when you're running around. But anyway, there's this island there called Margaret Island, which you cross over the bridge, and there's a track actually on this island. There's volleyball courts, there's table tennis, there's everything you could possibly think of. But there's also a 5K loop all the way around this island, which is like a single lane track, is the only way I can describe it. It's like track surface, but only one lane. Then there's tarmac on the other side and like a dirt trail on the other side of it. So it's absolutely unbelievable, to be honest. So that was by far the most enjoyable of the two the two runs
Is
I
there
did
a
that week.
I had a question about this because I've heard a lot of people mention this. Was there a certain way that you had to run round, like a one-way system, or was it just generally accepted to run a certain way?
I mean, most people seem to run the same way. So you come off the bridge, you fling a right, and then you just follow it round that way. So there wasn't too much confusion or congestion in that regard when I ran around it. I don't know about you, Ben.
Yeah, pretty much everyone going the same way, but I did see Eloise Markov, and she was going the wrong way.
Goodness gracious me.
Yeah, so I had to tell her, turn around.
Some stern words to her. But that's that was what was so amazing about it. Like, I don't know if it's always like that on a nice sunny morning in Budapest or whether it's like world champs in the air that got everybody out running, but it was absolutely rammed with runners in a nice way. They were everywhere. But everywhere you look, there were people running over the bridge or running through the city or running around the island. The only thing really negative about it is how hot it was last week. Like, it was getting upwards of 30 every day. And even in the morning, first thing in the morning, it was like 27, 28. So just not used to it coming from probably the worst summer I can remember in the UK, where it's like 18 degrees and a bit wet and rainy. To go from that to 35 took like a, it was a pretty harsh adjustment. Not that I'm complaining, obviously, but it was, yeah, it was definitely challenging to run in. Wouldn't you agree, Ben? It's bloody hot.
Yeah, definitely. When I talk through my week, I'll explain it, but I basically could only run during the hottest hours of the day because I don't know about your schedule, Tom, but a lot of the track stuff was in the morning and then again in the evening. So it was either get your training done at 11, between 11 o'clock and 3 p.m. or don't get it done at all, which was, yeah, it was silly hot and almost a little bit dangerous, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
What's this shoe you've mentioned, Tom? It's got about 8 digits, 1080 V13. What's that say?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Very,
so,
very decent.
I should say, for context, I was out in Budapest with New Balance. So it was a big hospitality trip for them, which was unbelievable, to be honest. I don't know of any brand. Well, you might trumpet with Asics, Ben, when you go through your week. But from my experience, New Balance do it better than anybody when it comes to hospitality, making sure that you're taken care of. Like, we were literally staying in the Ritz in Budapest. That's the sort of level that they went to. And so, yeah, most people were out there just for a hospitality experience, just to have a good time, to watch some athletics and so on. But myself and Big Lewis Collins were out there just to try and get as much stuff shot and like as much content as we possibly could as well, just make the most out of it. And one of those opportunities was to get our hands on the new 1080s. So the 1080, for anybody who doesn't know, has been like a staple mileage shoe for New Balance and just in general, to be honest, for many, many years. But it's maybe fallen a little bit behind the times recently in previous iterations. Like, the last couple iterations have been a little bit samey, and not that exciting. But this new version, which is out in October, I believe, is unbelievably good. So I went for a little run in that in the morning, and it's a special shoe. That I think you boys would like it too.
Can I ask you a question, Tom?
Go
for
on.
For the benefit of the listeners and for myself, because I'm interested, and feel free to give as much or as little detail as you're allowed or slash like is appropriate to give. But how does it work? Sorry, there's a plane flying over. I don't know if you can hear that. How does it work in terms of, so New Balance contact Pro Direct or whoever you work for, and they say, hey, like, opportunity for some of your guys to come and do this. In terms of the content that you decide to shoot, are you told by New Balance, we'd love you to do X, Y, and Z? Or do you go, what do we want to do? Do you just think, what would be fun or what would be valuable? Like, how are you coming up with, because I've obviously now seen the content you put out, like Kira and stuff like that. How do you come up with, right, these are the 5 or 6 things that we want to create when we're there? Is it a brief? Yeah. Is it a brief, or is it just you and Lewis being like, "This would be class. We've got a free pass to go where we want. Let's just do it."
Yes, it's a great question. So there's all sorts of different hurdles that you have to jump over and loops to go through and stuff to make those things happen. Because there's always agents and sports marketing and those sorts of people that you have to go through before you can get access to the athletes. And all of the ideas need sign off beforehand. So you've got to make like decks and presentations and deliver that to New Balance and be on calls with them to explain what you want to capture, why you want to capture it, how they can help, and so on. So like the piece of Kira, for example, like, we needed help getting clips and videos from her family members sent in, and that required like Johnny Meller, who's on the marketing team at New Balance, to reach out to people in Kira's family without her knowing and all of that kind of stuff. So there's a lot of moving parts of it, but simply, New Balance come to us saying, we've got 2 spots for a hospitality experience at the World Champs. There's no content expectation, but Kira Jake Whiteman, Femke Bol might be knocking about the hotel once she's finished racing, like that kind of deal. So if you do want to make any content, let us know and we'll see what we can do. So then it's up to us to, well, up to me to put like a brief together and decide who we want to shoot with when, get sign off for it, and then go out there and do it, basically.
Got you. Sounds interesting. I think it's just worth knowing because, like, we see the final product of things that you get up to, and obviously, you know, similar on Ben's size. But as to what the you know, brief is, or if you're sent out there with a mission, or if you're just sent out there as like, hey, like it'd be great if you could create some stuff, but you can kind of stay here regardless. I think it's just interesting. And would you say, again, briefly, sorry, this episode is just turning into me being interested in shit. is that, you can just say yes or no to this. Is that the case with most trips you go on, would you say, where it's that style of thing? Or is most trips you go on, one shoe is releasing, you need to make something about this so we can sell it?
Yeah, for trips like this, yes, that is the case. For stuff where it's around a specific product, for example, then it's a lot more targeted for that purpose, if that makes sense.
Yeah, got you.
But yeah, like it was a bloody good trip overall. But the only thing that I really didn't enjoy is Lewis. I don't know how much we've spoken about him on the podcast before, but he's videographer for ProDirect, but he's also a very, very nifty 400 meter runner. He's going to kill me. I can't remember his power of 10 PBs off the top of my head. I'll look it up for you. But yeah, he's run very quick over 400 and 200. Here he is. I've got him up now. So he's run 47.7 for 400 and 21.6 for 200. So he's serious, right? He's been ranked fairly high up in the country for a little while. But anyway, he's in the trenches with this stuff, which helps a lot when it comes to filming things. But we're at the gym. I had to do a bit of cross training. So I jumped on the elliptical for about half an hour. And he was like, when you're done, I'll take you through a little circuit, like a standard winter training circuit. And I stupidly agreed. And it was awful. It was absolutely horrible. It's like four rounds of quarter squat jump things into burpees, into push-ups to plank, into body weight squats to wall sits. Like it was... And like non-stop, no rest between any of these exercises. And yeah, I was in absolute bits. My calves have only just recovered, to be honest. I'm only just able to walk around without any soreness. So
did you feel good for it though?
It was good fun. Yeah, it was apparently, according to Lewis, it's designed to be like a 400 simulation type circuit. So by the end, when you're doing those wall sets at the end, like the lactic that you feel, and like the pain that you feel should build up like the mental resilience for like the last 50 meters of a 400. So not exactly specific for me, but this gym was shit, to be perfectly honest. There were dumbbells up to 20 kgs and that was it. There were no real machines. There was only one treadmill and an elliptical and that was it in there. So I had to get a little bit creative with it. And yeah, felt good for it afterwards, but it took me a while to recover soreness wise. But that's it from a training standpoint, unfortunately. Like I know, like you said, Ben, the only way you're able to fit your training in was to do it in like the midday sun. And for us, it was up early, bed late, and then similar. If I wanted to run, it was either really early in the morning or like at lunchtime where everybody else was having lunch. And it just, with the stage where I'm at the moment, like where I'm not training for anything specific, like I'm only up to 4 days of running, I really want it to be sensible and not do the things that I feel led me to get a stressy in the first place, being burning the candle at both ends and squeezing in training wherever possible. It just didn't feel worth it. So yeah, not ideal, but that was that's all the training I did last week. Couple of runs and a bit of cross training and an S&C circuit thing with Lewis.
It's quite a good caveat into my week, because I feel like I took the opposite approach in terms of I was trying to get as much training done as possible despite busy schedule, because it was the second week of my training for the Vitality 10K. So on my plan, I had a big 100-mile week planned. Didn't quite get all 100 miles run, but I got close. So yeah, I'll quickly talk through my week. So started Monday, with treadmill tempo, 14 kilometers.
Sorry, Ben. Sorry,
yes,
just
mate?
Just before you start, for the one or two listeners who don't have a clue what you were doing, just give a brief overview of why you were in Budapest, etc. Just to frame this.
So I was in Budapest with ASICS Running, and I was basically doing a bit of a takeover of their Instagram account, making something called the Budapest Diaries, which basically was a minute and a half short form piece of content every day of basically my experience at the World Champs, interviewing some athletes, going to places in the stadium that most people couldn't go, and sort of sharing a behind the scenes of what it was like to be at the World Champs.
It was great, by the way. I thought they'd done a blinder of a job, like from a production standpoint, and like getting people like yourself and a few other like running creator influencer people involved.
Yeah.
It didn't feel like cheesy or contrived in any way. I think they did a great job of like just sticking you in front of the camera and making it seem natural rather than like getting you to do stuff that you normally wouldn't want to do, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think it was a good balance between the production being high quality and it feeling like someone who'd properly taken the time to edit it well and like had shot it well, but equally it was informal enough that you could just kind of, they put enough bits in where you were just being a bit lighthearted or having fun. It wasn't very much like, cool, let's go and find the next ASICS athlete and ask them how that race was, you know?
Yeah.
Which a lot of stuff often comes across as that, so.
Yeah, it was really good. A nice balance. But what I will say is that because the videos were only a minute and 30 seconds long, we'd film for maybe 10 hours of the day and then hardly anything would get used, which was obviously, it doesn't matter because at the end of the day, the content's done well and it was good fun. But it was like, oh yeah, I did all this, and it never made the cut. And like I interviewed like maybe probably 25, 30 people every night. And maybe two or three would end up in the edit, and I'd have people message me on Instagram being like, oh, it's nice to meet you in the stadium. Do you know where I can find a link to the interview that you did in the stadium with me? And I'm like, unfortunately, you're a little bit boring and you didn't make the cut. So it was very like snippet content. It was like, okay, I'm watching this. Now I'm doing this. And then I'm doing this. Like anything long form, it was kind of didn't make the cut.
Yeah.
And yeah, we were heavily focused on the ASICS athletes. So I don't know if you saw any of the videos, but I was basically cheering on any athlete that was sponsored by ASICS, whether it be either in the Dutch or Japanese Federation, because they were sponsored by ASICS, or an ASICS athlete. So for example, Mo Katir was a big one. Kelsey Lee Barber, who's a javelin thrower. Nadia Battacletti, another 5K runner from Italy. It was really good to watch the champs, but I definitely had a focus in terms of like, I wasn't watching the men's 5,000 meters as a spectator. I was watching it to make a piece of content for ASICS, if that makes sense.
Yeah. It just shows you how good would it be if, obviously there's an element of trust and I'm guessing people would still have to run the content by people, but they should just be giving like 10 or 20 different personalities the same license to be able to go and create content like that. Just pay them to be like, look, we want a 1 minute reel every day of the champs. Like go and do your thing and get enough people with different styles that you have someone who tries to make it a comedy thing and he's kind of taking the piss out of fans. You have someone who's super just like in depth about wants to see what the spikes and the shoes and the equipment is. You know, I think like the inside scoop was way more like seeing the stuff that they'd put out of you. I was way more intrigued to watch and be like, oh, I wonder what like you got to see, because I know it's not going to be something really standard compared to the like sit down interview like, so Jakob, how did you find the race today? You know?
Yeah.
the guy's voice.
Need to change a little bit in that regard, I think, as well. Cause when you see how many, like the sea of photographers that have got access down there, the amount of yellow bibs knocking about, it's unbelievable. And they're all shooting the same stuff. And I'm sure they've all got like media partners and TV companies or whoever it is that they're working for. Like, I'm sure they've all got like a purpose whilst they're there. But there's so much. I don't know if you saw it on your feeds, but when I was scrolling through, there's so many just images of people like crossing the finish line or holding up the flag or like from the same vantage point on the same cameras. And like, it got quite samey. So when you popped up, Ben, having a bit of a boogie,
yeah,
a questionable boogie and down a little corridor of the stadium or something, it broke it up so well and was so much more entertaining. So I think you're right, like you've got to get people like that access.
Yeah, and
definitely.
of course there's a line. Like, we, as much as we'd want to run around and make ridiculous stuff, there is a need for like the formal press, right?
Yeah,
Like,
sure.
you know, Josh Kerr's going to do way better getting coverage from BBC News and than he is if he was put on some TikToker's channel, even if we find it more entertaining, you know? So I get that, I get that there's a place for it, but yeah, I just thought it was interesting. Anyway, sorry, Ben, I've completely hijacked your training.
No, that's all right. Yeah, I would say they did ASICS did a really good job of like blending in the interviews I did with athletes to me having a good time and just making it almost like a piece of content that I would put out anyway.
Yeah.
And then these pieces of content went out daily as like collaborative posts, which was a wicked opportunity. Gained a lot of eyes to my profile, which I'm very thankful for.
The only other thing I'd add, Ben, I was going to stick at the end of my week, is like when you're in the stadium, I can't remember how many nights we were there, maybe four nights on the bounce. This sounds ridiculous, but on the last night, so the women's 800 final, the men's 5000 final,
yeah,
and like the four by four relays, I think it was.
Yeah, men and women's, yeah.
Yeah, me and Lewis didn't go to the stadium, even though we had like a all week ticket, because like the seats were incredible. But like, if you want to watch a race, watching it in a stadium is not the place to do it, because you can't see anything that's going on. Like, that you've got to have potluck that the big screen that you're facing shows the results that you want to see. Because we were looking to see, like, you know, on the previous nights, we might be looking to see whether Zarnell Hughes had medaled or something, but he'd have the pole vault results on the screen that we could see. And you don't know what's going on. Like, you've got no idea. So on the last night, we decided just to went to a little Italian restaurant, ate some spaghetti. We had a bit of drama with having to move hotels and stuff anyway. But watch the men's 5,000, watch the women's 800, watch the relays. And it was like, it was far more enjoyable from a viewing experience. Obviously, you don't get the atmosphere. But it was, yeah, it was interesting to see how much you miss when you are in the stadium, especially on races like the 5,000, where there's, you know, like 12 and a half laps to sit through. Like, you don't see any of the moves take place or anything, do you? So
yeah,
it's
yeah,
an
yeah.
interesting one.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's definitely a different experience to watching athletics, like being there, because like, I couldn't have told you who came first, second and third in most races, even though I was in the stadium.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, you do get the other flip side of it. You feel the atmosphere of what it's like to run at a World Champs, like the crowd that goes absolutely crazy on that last lap, to the point where you have to leave the stadium afterwards because you can't hear yourself think, and you're like, you just feel the adrenaline pumping through your body, and you're like, hang on a sec, I need to just go outside for a minute and catch your breath type thing.
Because it is
pretty intense. But no, wicked experience. I think I did 7 nights in a row in the stadium, which was, yeah, by the end of it, I'm not going to lie, I was definitely done. On the last night, ASICS somehow managed to get us these upgraded passes, which got us into the World Athletics Lounge, like with all the big dogs, basically, like all the BBC reporters, everything like that, which was a bit surreal. So finished the weekend with a nice little buffet and a couple of drinks, which was a nice little touch, but no, awesome experience. Like you said, I'm still recovering from it now. I'm absolutely knackered from the workload, but anyway, quickly go through my training. So Tuesday is when I flew out to Budapest, and I planned to just jump on the treadmill because it was 35 degrees outside, but unfortunately the treadmill in the gym that I was staying at was broken. It was like jolting when I was on it, so I actually think I like almost sprained my right knee, because the next day I felt like a little bit of a niggle. Basically the belt was like, every time I put my foot on it, it was trying to speed up to the pace. I don't know what was wrong with it, but it was dangerous. Anyway, did 500 meters on there and then jumped off, and did an hour in the sunshine instead. Again, only an hour because I had to be at the stadium for 6 o'clock, so I didn't have a lot of time. Then on Wednesday morning was the first, second session of the week after my tempo on the Monday, but the first and only session I got to do in Budapest, which was 8x K. And I was actually feeling pretty rough on this warm up, but I did a few strides and got going, and the session went pretty well. I was aiming for sort of 10K effort, and the pace came out a little bit faster. I think I averaged 301 per K. found a nice little flat bit of pavement along the Pest side of Budapest. And that was really nice, actually. It was where the On athletes were staying. So I saw a few of them dotted about. Lisa Waitman as well on this run. She was doing a shakeout. She cheered me on. And we had a good interview in the next few days. It's quite nice. She knew who I was, which was a surprise. And then on to the next day. Oh, no, sorry. I got a double done in the afternoon. 10K easy. And again, 4 o'clock, 35 degree heat. Not so fun. Got it done. Then the next day, I went for a run. As I was saying, the only time you would really have to some free time was lunchtime. So I started this run at 12 p.m. So literally the hottest point of the day. Did a couple of laps of the island Tom was talking about, which is, yeah, incredible. It felt like the track was really spongy as well. So it almost felt like you could feel like the benefit of running on a softer surface. So it was quite nice for a longer type run. So that was 22K at 4:40 per K. Next day, pretty similar, but this time I got out in the morning. Didn't have to be down at the stadium until the evening because I don't think there was any ASICS athletes in the morning session. So decided not to go down to the stadium, which was about 4 kilometers away from where I was staying. So again, got my easy running done for the day. This would typically be a double day for me, but time constraints just decided to get the 22K done in one go. Which I definitely found from this week that when you put two runs together like this, you don't recover as well. So I think one of the main benefits I find from splitting my mileage across a morning and an evening is that my body then recovers from, say, a 12K run in the morning, so that when I run in the evening another 10K, then I'm basically fully recovered. Whereas when you run 22K back-to-back days, you certainly feel a little bit more fatigued, I would say. Managed to get a double as well in that afternoon. So 4 o'clock I was out and just did an easy 8 kilometers, bumped into Sarah and Andy from the running channel who'd just arrived. They were trying to find the island, so I pointed them in the right direction. Then on to, I think this was the Saturday now. The only time I had on this day was at 5 o'clock. And I think this was the hottest day of being in Budapest. When I went for a run, it was 36 degrees. I took a photo of the athletic stadium thing that was on the island again. But yeah, I called this one borderline stupid. I think any hotter and I would have been more sensible not doing that run. It was just getting ridiculous.
It's bad enough walking around when it was that hot. It's that sort of heat where you walk out the hotel and you start sweating immediately. Like you're just walking around.
You can almost feel the pavement shooting heat up at you, which is not a nice feeling. But anyway, got my run done. 17K, a few strides to get my legs ready for a bit of a harder effort the next day.
Did you do anything? I'll be interested to know if you did anything different on these runs. Like it was, like you say, it was almost stupid hot. I know there's maybe people listening to this podcast who every summer they experience like 35 degrees and it's just a normal summer's day. But for us who aren't used to it, especially coming from what the weather we've had over here, did you bring any fluids with you? Did you like make sure to alter your nutrition a little bit to compensate for the fact that it was 36 degrees and bloody humid?
Yeah. So there was like a water dispenser literally as you left the hotel. So every time I'd go for a run, I'd drink like a pint and a half of water. And then I'd go out for a run. And actually in Budapest, I found that there was quite a lot of like public drinking fountains, which were pretty good. So I think on the island, there's two that I found. So I would stop every now and again to get some water on board. And I think even on this run, I just put my head under the tap because it was just ridiculous. And just made sure I stayed, like my easy runs were a little bit slower when I was over there, probably about 10 to 15 seconds per K slower, just because it was so hot. So I just made sure I kept an eye on my heart rate and didn't overdo it, and then made sure I hydrated before and after as much as I could.
Yeah.
But yeah, the week went pretty well. Finished it with the mass race on the Sunday, which was after the women's marathon. So the marathon days were pretty intense for me because they started at 7 o'clock, and the ASICS content team wanted to get to the start line for 6 a.m. to film the athletes. So it meant I was basically getting up at about 5:30 on the weekends. So these days were pretty tough in terms of getting any training in. But I got to do the mass race. It was originally going to be one loop of the marathon course, which is 10K, but they decided to shorten it. So it was actually a 5.75K run. Basically, this stretch of the route is sort of covered by trees. It almost felt a bit like Berlin-esque or Vienna-esque in terms of like it's a long straight road with tree cover. So even though it was 35 degrees, it actually wasn't too bad because it was covered by shade for the majority of it, I would say. And stuck to the plan. Tempo effort, probably a little bit harder than tempo effort in the heat. I think I averaged 3:12 per K, and it felt really, really good running around with the camera, talking the whole way. So when I saw 3:12 at the end, I was pretty chuffed in terms of splits, even in those conditions. So yeah. Pretty good end to the week, 135K of running, a little bit less than I would have liked, but all things considered, being at the World Champs, I think I did a fairly all right job of managing to at least maintain my fitness, if I didn't gain anything from the week.
Ben, question for you. I watched your video and I couldn't quite work it out. I was maybe not 100% concentrating. in the mass race, did you know there was going to be a bloke there from your club?
Yes, I did.
Okay, you didn't just randomly bump into him.
So I knew Zach was going to be there from Chelmsford, but I didn't know there was another guy from Braintree who literally crossed the line like a couple of people after me who I didn't know was there at all. So it was quite surreal. Literally finished, got to the finish line, and there's just two guys who live like 20 minutes down the road from me.
What's the guy called from Braintree?
Callum.
Yeah, Gillett. Is he Hannah Irwin's partner?
Yes.
Yeah, I know him. I bumped into him on a run once. Great guy.
Yeah, lovely guy.
In the video, he had sunglasses and a hat on, so I couldn't quite tell if it was him. But
yeah.
No, that's pretty cool. And in terms of the mass race, was there a... I know the guy that came second, German bloke, was there quite a lot of people that were taking it mega serious, do you think?
Not really. There was probably about 10 guys that were actually up for it.
Parkrun vibes.
Yeah, it was a definite mass like celebration rather than a let's absolutely gun it.
And I'd be interested, like, you still, you know, you managed a decent whack of volume out there. Like, when you're on your feet all day,
yeah,
in those sorts of conditions, like we say, you're losing so much more fluid than you would normally because you just don't stop sweating from the second you step outside. Like, have you noticed any negatives since coming back? You mentioned you've been a little bit tired, but is there anything,
yeah,
like, concerning to you? Like, were you not, like, I guess I'm... What I'm getting at is, are you not worried about like that level of output?
Yeah.
Not just running wise, but the work side of things too.
Yeah, I would say it definitely wasn't sustainable. Like if I was out there for any more than the week that I was, I think I would have had to have seriously thought about adjusting my training. And I definitely felt a bit shit on these runs. Like I was going out for these sort of longer easy runs, and I usually would feel pretty good in terms of like how my body was feeling, but it just felt like my legs were heavier, as if I'd almost done a session the previous day when I just done an easy run. So I just feel like my body was at like almost 70% in terms of recovery, despite the training load being lower, just because I was doing so much more in the day. I literally averaged like 38,000 steps with the running, so it was pretty taxing on the body. And then obviously you're not sleeping as much as you need to at night. So I think I got away with it, but in hindsight, I was pushing it a bit, I think.
I think one other thing as well, it's worth noting, and like feel free to see if I'm speaking out of turn, but yeah, when you're at an event like that, your motivation and your inspiration is way higher than if you were fatiguing your body in another way, if you see what, yeah, I mean. So if you were, let's say you had no interest in running and you were just a cameraman and your job was to go around and film this bloke with a microphone that's speaking to all these athletes and you're still doing the same amount of steps, if you're not motivated by seeing all these top athletes, you're like absolutely buzzing off the trip you're on. You're like, this is my job. This is so sick. You're probably not as motivated to still go out and get your training. Whereas I would imagine, whether consciously or subconsciously, because you recognize that making all your training videos and doing all this stuff is what's got you to the position you're in,
yeah,
it's probably a healthy dose of motivation to be like, actually, I'll just try my best to get this run done, or I better get up and make sure I get a session in, because in 3 weeks, if I run well at a 10K, I know that video might do really well, and then I might get another opportunity to come out to another event like this kind of thing. Do you see what I mean?
It's quite 100%.
Like I've had it before where I've been, you know, proper tired, or I've had a million bits on, but I'm like, actually, I'm super enjoying what I'm doing. Like I'm really motivated to like keep doing stuff. It's not like kind of people who are not in a job that they don't enjoy and then still have to go out and get the training done. I think it's like a little bit different, right?
Yeah, yeah. At the end of the day, when I agreed to doing this Budapest Diaries thing, in my head, I was like, I'm training for the Vitality 10K. I'm not prepared to like compromise on my training. So like when the videographer, for example, was taking a 2 hour nap in the daytime to recover, I was like, I'm going to go and get my training done, because at the end of the day, these trips are wicked, but I want to be like the best level athlete I can. So I can't let in future, I can't let trips like this take over from my training. Like I have to still get it done, even if it is tough. Because otherwise, yeah, if I just did that every week, then I would probably not progress in my own like running journey, career, whatever you want to call it.
Well, not
at the end of the day, that is my priority at the moment.
Not to name anyone, Ben, but I think many a YouTuber or content creator has gone down that path where they've been smashing it out of the park, and then things have come along and suddenly the content and the life and the doing a million brand things has taken over, and then their running has gone down the pan as a result, and then the growth of the channel slows down, the popularity slows down, and suddenly, you know, it's not finite, the time that it's not infinite, sorry, the time you're going to have at the top. So I get people trying to make hay while the sun shines, but equally, like, in the nicest way possible, if you become really shit, I think your USP kind of goes,
oh yeah, 100%.
You know,
yeah.
Like if you suddenly can't break 25 minutes for parkrun, nothing against anyone who can't do that, but like your USP is that you are pretty good and you make content. There's a lot of people that are shit that make content, you know, and are probably better with a camera or better at editing, whatever, but like they're not as fast as you. That's like your selling point, you know?
Mm-hmm. And it all comes down to like why I make the content. And the content is almost like it facilitates me being able to train to the level that I want to train at. Like it's no more, it is like I love doing it, but at the end of the day, like becoming the best runner is my top priority. Like if it meant that I had to like not make any content for 2 weeks because I wanted to train like at the top level, then I would definitely go down that route rather than sacrifice the training, if that makes sense.
Yeah, there's plenty of people who are content first and like running second, whereas you're definitely the opposite of that.
Yeah,
you found,
I mean,
yourself in
which,
a situation.
Which is fine, by the way. Like, nothing against anyone that puts the content first.
Oh, yeah,
like,
for sure.
That's
their job. But, like, as long as you're honest about it and you're just like, well, that is my job. Like, I make content about something I love, which is running. And I think a lot of people are like that. It's when you get the two things confused and you're kind of like, no, I want to be this, or like, you know, I want to run these times. And, like, if you want to use times in a title, or you want to use, like, impressive athletic stats in a clickbait thing, you've got to bloody do them. Otherwise, they're not going to be there anymore. And I think a few people have had a fall from grace where they used to have some viral videos because they had sick running times and they'd done impressive marathons, etc. And now that's not available to them anymore. And it probably, you know, I would say it's probably a negative thing, but that's just my opinion. Easy for me to say, right? Because I'm not in that world. But anyway.
Yeah. At the end of the day, I've said I'm going to try and run 30-30 for 10K. So if I didn't get out and do the training, then it ain't going to happen. Simple as that.
Class. Cool. Shall I run through my training from last week?
Yes,
please. Do it.
Should be pretty quick, actually, I think. Let me get to Monday. Cool. Monday started with a single run. I did 8.19 miles at 6:50s, and this included 6 times 100 meter strides.
I'm loving the maps, by the way. I'm glad you stuck with the old trail map.
I've done it. I'm still doing it. Like, this is so this week, and then the week that we're recording, I've been doing it every run pretty much now.
Yeah, I love that.
I love it. And I think, I never realized how much I naturally run on dirt. Like, all of these are my normal routes. So, like, I've not changed my running, but I'm also motivated to be like, oh, you know what? Should I take the path that's off road? Like, you know, get a little few more dots on my map, which is actually really good for my body, you know, because, like, why would you run on concrete if you had the choice to do otherwise? So, yeah, I don't actually think these were 100 meters. I think they were 15 seconds, actually. I don't know why I put 100 meters. But yeah, strides on Monday. Tuesday, a bit of a different week this week because Tom Keane and a couple of other lads wanted to run a fast 1500 at Watford BMC on the Wednesday. So I got asked to pace that. So as a result, I didn't do a session on Tuesday. I combined the pacing and the session on the Wednesday. So Tuesday was just an easy double. I did 6 miles in the morning at 6:49s. And then I did 5 miles in the evening at about 8-minute miles, 8:09 miles. That was with Alice. That was a good one. And then that brings us to Wednesday. So this is kind of like a good day to a bit more of an interesting day. So normal warm-up. And then essentially what I had was 800 pacing. So there was like Tom Keane, James West. It was quite a good field, actually, Tom Mortimer. So I went through 800 in 154.3, which I was asked for 154, 155. So perfectly in the middle of that, which is great. And felt surprisingly good to say I've done nothing that fast. I was actually like, ah. Don't feel like I'm dying. So that was good. And James West went on to run 336.01 or something. So he ran pretty fast.
Not quite 335, is it? But
no, but he, to be fair, he didn't have the same level of competition that I had. I did have the aid of an Olympian when I did mine. So I will we'll let him off. And then I had what was supposed to be 5 by a K. Afterwards, but I did it as 3 times a mile simply because I was under pressure to finish the session before the 1500 meter final. So this was the night, this was the Wednesday night of the final. So I just did 3 times a mile at tempo. It was like 5:19 down to 5:12 off 60 seconds rest round. It's a pretty horrific grass loop, actually. Anyone that's been to Watford, you'll know what loop I'm talking about. It is terrible.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, up and down, isn't it?
Your ankles nearly break, like 5 times a lap, but I got that done. And then honestly, the atmosphere, obviously not in the stadium, but pretty cool at Watford Harriers to watch the final because everyone just piled into the clubhouse. It felt like when you're in the pub watching an England football match or something. And yeah, they had it on this little TV. Oh wait, medium-sized TV. Don't know why I'm acting like I've got a big TV. And oh, the atmosphere was just, I can't really describe it, but it was just class. Like, everyone was just going pretty mental. A couple of the guys in there, shout out to Michael Wilson. He had a bet on Josh Kerr from the start of the championships at 50 to 1. So he won like a load of money. Everyone's like going up to Stodia at the end saying like, Matt, come on, next year, 3 in a row, it's going to be you. Like, it was just class. So that was a great night, actually. A nice place to watch it, a bit of atmosphere. So yeah, that was a good Wednesday. Not a massive session, but for what I'm training for at the moment, which is just generally getting strong, but also trying to keep some speed for the road mile, doing it 800 in 154 and it feeling fine is a good sign. So that was good. The next day would have been Thursday because that's how the days work. So Thursday, just 7.5 miles at 6:59s. Pretty easy. And as you can see there, there's no dots on the map. A lot,
yeah, too much concrete.
A lot of concrete on that one. But hey ho, is what it is. Oh, I got a course record though. You set a course record.
Oh, oh yeah. Busway to Scotland.
Unreal. Must be northerly. Friday I had a session. So again, normally I have 2 days recovery between my sessions because I do Tuesday, Friday a lot. Occasionally I actually do Tuesday, Saturday. But obviously this week I had Wednesday and then I couldn't do Saturday because I had family plans. So I need to do Friday. So only the 1 day recovery in between. So I was a bit conscious about how it would feel. But I actually felt great. I had a 10K fartlek, which was basically 30 seconds, 60 seconds, 90 seconds, 2 minutes with equal rest in between. But the rest was like between a float and a jog. So it wasn't a float, which would be like 5:30, 5:40 a mile. And it wasn't an easy jog, which would be say like 7:30 a mile. It was somewhere in between, a moderate pace. So for me, it was about 6:15 a mile, something like that. The 30 seconds and the 60 second reps were supposed to be around like a 3K, 5K style effort. And then the 90s and the two, like between like a 5K and a 10K pace sort of effort. I mean, you just keep that rolling until the watch hits 10K or whatever I calculated in miles. So yeah, did this with Norman, who was available, which was good. Good to do a session with him. And yeah, felt great, actually. Like, was recovering super fast on the recoveries. Reps didn't feel too fast. I think we did about 4:30 miling for the 30s and the 60s, and then about 4:40, 4:45 for the 90s and the 2s. So yeah, solid enough session.
When you say equal rest, is that equal to the rep duration?
Equal to the rep, yeah. So 30 seconds on, 30 seconds off, 60 seconds on, 6 seconds off, etc.
That sounds pretty good session, actually.
Yeah, just a rolling fart, like something a bit different. Basically, all the work that coach has got me doing now is like what we call like under-over work. So it's basically alternating paces between under and over a threshold pace. And yeah, that's basically how we can get fit pretty quick without doing anything crazy. So that was Friday. Saturday, I was back home. I say back home, back at Alice's parents' house. What do you start to call that as you get older? Your partner's parents.
You're at the in-laws, aren't you?
Yeah, but they're not really officially in-laws, and that also makes me feel like I'm 65.
You know? Is that your hometown as well?
No, it's not my home. I'm from Leeds, mate. This is miles from my home. They couldn't be any further away.
Oh, there you go.
And also,
Alice's home.
Yeah, but I don't like saying Alice's home because I feel like surely her home should be here with me. What, is she just in a hotel? You know what I mean? It feels wrong to be like, oh, I'm off to my girlfriend's home, but don't you live with your girlfriend? Yeah, so, you know what I mean? Weird. Anyway, I went to the outskirts of Watford. That's where I was. So just
Three rivers.
Yeah.
Has it got three rivers?
This is actually on the same, if you zoom out, or you might even be able to see it on that map. It's literally,
I'm zooming out as we speak.
You'll be able to see Watford where I was on Wednesday. It's literally it's half a mile away from the state, from Watford Stadium. Anyway.
Between Watford and Hemel Hempstead.
Yeah, there you go. Don't disclose the location too specifically. I'll have Andrew Wilcox on the phone to me saying I've given his family location away. 4.4 miles, 8.07s, just an easy 30-35 minutes. And then we had a day of long walking and dinners out and stuff. It was Stella's birthday. Shout out to Stella.
It's a great name.
Yeah, and then Sunday did a long run, 14 miles at 6:34 average. The last 5 or 6 miles I just picked up to a moderate effort, which for me really, well, it's always based on feel, but I normally use 6 minute miling as a bit of a gauge, but depending on how I feel, it's either between 5:50 a mile and 6:20 a mile. Like steady state is what a lot of people would call that. Just picked it up a little bit. And yeah, that brings me to the week. So that week was 64.6 miles. So yeah, another step up. And then this week of recording will be another step up on that. Feeling pretty good. Feeling fit. Got a race in a week or two. Strength and
stuff. Remind us which is. Which one is that?
The UK Road Championships, I think it's called. I think that's the official name. It's basically the trials for the World Road Champs. Yeah. There's a mile and there's a 5K. Yeah, and it's quite small elite fields, actually. I think there's 14 people or 15 people in the mile and about the same, maybe 20 or something in the 5K.
Very small.
Yeah.
Where is it?
It's in Newcastle.
Okay.
Is it the same weekend as the
Great North Run? Yeah.
Great North.
Except it's on the Friday. Great North's on the Sunday morning. So a little bit before. But yeah, it should be good, actually. The mile field, I mean, we can discuss this in the next episode, probably. This is more of like a 2 week conversation. But it's going to be super competitive because only the winner gets automatic qualification. And then there has to be a selection meeting for the other spot. So there's 4 or 5 people all with the time vying for the world champ spot. So not often I've kind of played it down, but it is a chance to represent GB. So it's kind of a big deal. But yeah, that was my week, boys. 65-ish miles. No 35-degree weathers to contend with, but some concrete dodging. And yeah, solid week, boys. Solid week.
Good stuff, mate.
I like that.
Sweet. I guess the only other thing in this episode that we sort of haven't mentioned is some of the results. And I reckon the best way to do it is probably for us each just to pick out one of the races that we specifically thought was interesting or was a great result that we want to talk about. What do you think?
That's what I was thinking, actually. Otherwise, we'll be sat here for another week talking about the world champs.
As much as
I love it, I don't want to talk about it for another 30 minutes.
Why don't you go first, then? What stood out, Tom?
Let me get the old show notes up on the go. So I think it's very obvious, but the men's final was the first like proper race I think that me and Lewis watched in the stadium, and we were sat directly behind Josh Kerr's family, literally like the row behind them. So that was that was pretty special, to be honest. Obviously Josh Kerr got the win, second year in a row that Jakob's been done over by a Brit, which was quite satisfying based off, you remember in the semis where he went from last to first and was giving it the big into the crowd and all this. In Josh Kerr's post-race interviews, he was saying how it didn't annoy him, but he sensed that there was some kind of like weakness there with Jakob, like that he had to be center of attention and he had to steal the limelight.
Yeah.
And then he goes and does that. So yeah, that was a very, very special one to be in the crowd for. I'm very glad I got to watch that in the stadium and not on the TV. Didn't Nordas get bronze as well?
Yeah,
he did. Yeah, he came through the field like a rocket
by a hundredth of a second. Nearly beat Jakob.
Mate, if he'd have beaten Jakob, that would have been hilarious.
Yeah, but what a story, hey? Like, that was a sensational race to witness live. So it's probably the highlight for me, to be honest.
What did you think of Jakob calling Josh Kerr just the next guy? What was your thoughts on that?
Go on, Tom.
No, go on. You go, Callum.
I was going to say, I think I'm, as much as I love the memes and things are funny, I think I'm a bit of a Jakob fanboy. So I kind of defend him to an extent in just the, not with those comments, which I'll come on to, but generally speaking, I think the semi-final thing is world-class, right? No one had a thing to say when Mo Farah did that. Mo Farah did that 3 laps into a 10K, right? And everyone was like, oh, he's a legend because he's British. All these old people love British people, right? But they hate on everybody else. And I think the semi-final thing, great for engagement. Everyone has said the whole season, Jakob can only win if he goes to the front. My man ran in last place and then outkicked everyone in 52 or 53 second last lap, whatever. Like, I think him going, haha, everyone, told you I can do it, is great, because you've got to put yourself in the mindset of, like, we think he's indestructible and doesn't hear anything because he doesn't have much of a social media presence, but he probably hears all the shit people are saying about him all year. So I thought the semi-final thing was great. I do think that if you put yourself out there to get shot, though, you have to also eat the humble pie in the final and be like, hey, look, I've been running at the front all year. I tried my best. It's a shame it didn't work out on this occasion. I think would have been the way to approach it, rather than the I'm a bit under the weather, I'm a bit this, bit that. Even though I do believe that, by the way, I do believe he wasn't 100%, because I think he's the sort of guy that, like, just really wouldn't lie about it. I don't think there's the need for him to lie. I think he's so harsh on himself and so kind of a born winner that he will have been frustrated that he wasn't and couldn't perform to the level that he wanted to. That being said, how hard would it have been to say one sentence and just say, fair play to Josh Kerr? Like, he was there to be
tiny bit of more respect, I would say. Yeah, like, that's the only thing I didn't like about it.
I think it did feel disrespectful, didn't it?
Yeah, but I think also the other way, the thing to remember is that how many 21 or 22-year-old people say stuff or can't really handle emotions? Like, put yourself in the situation of this guy. You're 22. You are the best runner in the world and all the pressure is on you to win. Mm. Everyone is basically putting the gold medal around your neck before you've even started. You have to navigate all the press, all the media stuff, 5 races to get to the final where everyone thinks you're going to win. And you're lining up next to a bloke that your dad, who you have not publicly come out, but everyone knows that you've had a major family breakup and your dad don't talk anymore, is coaching your rival to try and come and take your spot. Like, I think that's a lot of mental stuff to deal with. So then imagine you don't get the win. Do you, in the 10 seconds afterwards when you do an interview, have the time to process and think, what do I really think? What's going to make me look good here? How do I word this? Probably not. That being said, it does come with the millions that you get paid to be an athlete. So you've got to just learn how to deal with yourself a bit better. So what I'm saying is, I totally agree. I think that he came across as a complete knob and he should have been a bit better. But I understand the external factors as to why you would be so emotional in that situation. And I think a lot of other sports people, namely footballers, do a lot worse every single week and no one says anything. That's my kind of approach.
And what did he do a few days later? He comes back and wins the 5,000, you know?
Yeah, so. And I think he would have been way more of a dickhead if after he won the 5,000, he was celebrating loads. I actually like the fact that he basically didn't give a shit and he was subdued and he was like, nah, like, this has been a disappointing championship. Like, that to me shows the reason he was annoyed is because he's a born winner. He's known since 12 years old, all I do is win every race. Like, that is just what I do. I'm programmed like a robot to win these things. Like a lot of footballers that the team's won, but they've not scored. And because they're programmed just to score goals as a striker, they're like, disappointed with my own performance, but, you know, glad the team could win. And they're very subdued. So I think, you know, it does show that he's quite an emotionally fragile guy. But, you know, fair play for him coming back and winning that.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It was a tough one because I would also say I was a massive Jakob fan going into the World Champs, but I've come out on the other side thinking, like, I don't know. Like, a few of the things he did and said, I understand, like you just said, Callum, I understand where he's coming from. He's a born winner. He's going through tough times. But for me, like, when I saw him being interviewed after the 5,000 meters final, and he'd just beaten Mokhtir, he'd won a gold medal, and to hear him just being saying that, like, he wasn't impressed, like he was disappointed that he couldn't show where he's at. I'm like, I get it, but at the same time, you've just won a gold medal at the World Champs. Like, I don't know. It was just like, I wanted to almost shake him and be like, look, mate, you've just won the one of the hardest races in the world. And
I would have paid to see that, by the way. I'd have paid to see Ben just jump into the mix zone and go, come on, Jakob, give us a
come on.
Smile, lad.
Yeah, I was just like, come on, dude. Like, you've just won the 5,000 meter title. There's so many people in the world that would train for their whole lives, you know, all this blah, 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 blah. And he's there basically sulking because he's still got a sore throat. And I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake, dude, come on.
Yeah, but that's, I think that's way more transparent. And I think it's way more, like, you know, if that is your personality, then just be yourself. And I don't think that he's done that in front of the cameras and then he's got into the limousine with his girlfriend, popped a bottle of champagne and gone, well, hey, another gold and been buzzing. I think right now I'll be sat at home thinking like, oh, fuck, got to train for the 15 next year. Like, I kind of let myself down. And I think some characters are just, you know, I kind of like how raw it is in the sense that, like, he outkicks everyone in the semi and that was clearly an outburst of raw emotion when he showboated. And that was a side of him that was like, wow, I'm on top of the world. So then to also show that I'm actually down in the dumps and I can't believe that I'm not even over the other loss is, I don't know, I kind of like it. But again, I am such a Jakob fan just in terms of like what he's doing for the sport.
Shithousery.
What he's doing for the sport, I think, is great. Like, he's clearly on a big social media drive right now with his girlfriend taking over the Instagram channels and showing us all the behind the scenes at World Champs and stuff. I think all that kind of stuff is class. Like, why is no other athlete doing that sort of thing? You know, whether they're being paid or not to do it. Like, yeah, I just like him, so I'll defend him. That being said, Josh Kerr, legend, and equally a cocky motherfucker, but he backs it up. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like,
when we're talking, he
rubs everyone up the wrong way and comes across as a complete wanker, I think, in 50% of his interviews. But in the 50% of interviews I've thought where he's a wanker, and he said, watch, I'll be ready in August. What's he done? He's come and backed it up. So you can't say anything about the guy. What a legend, you know?
Yeah. It's funny. It was on one of the bizarre events that happened, being on a Ferris wheel with Jake Whiteman, just there talking to him about everything that was going on. This was the day after the 1500 final. And yeah, he was saying exactly that Jakob absolutely fucking hates Josh Kerr and everything that he says, because he's such, like, he antagonizes everything, doesn't he?
Yeah.
All of the things that he says. Whereas Jakob likes Jake because Jake's, you know, he just rocks up, does his job. Bloke. Yeah, doesn't talk shit. Like, so yeah, it's funny. I love hearing all of that sort of stuff. Like the behind the scenes, like feelings of between athletes and stuff.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. And the whole Nordas thing as well, like, there's genuinely, I could feel the tension between the two of them when they both were walking through the mix zone. Like, it was almost like, I don't know, it was about to explode in terms of, there's definite tension between the two
Of
them.
Yeah, well, off pod conversations, because I don't want to be sued for any libel, but I've got a few stories I can tell you about the Nordas-Jakob triangle, but all alleged, so I better not.
You don't want to spill the tea on the pod?
Nah, because I'll definitely either get sued or battered or called out for bullshit. So
yeah, because at the end of the day, you might end up on one of the start lines with one of these guys in a few years' time.
That would be amazing, wouldn't it?
I was thinking about this, right? I was like, you know when athletes are on the start line and the camera pans across, like, that's your chance to do something, like, really good or something that sets you apart. You know how, like, Sam Tanner always does his little hacker celebration because it, like, appeals to the Kiwi people and it's like his identity. It's kind of something a little bit different, you know, or like Mary Mora after she won the 800 did her little dance. And like, that dance will probably get more views from the mainstream than her even winning the 800. People don't know what a good 800 time is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%.
And I always think, like, why is no one doing something funny? Like, if you're stood next to Jakob in the line, like, I'd be like sniffing his armpits and then going like, ooh, the camera or whatever, you know? I'd be doing something funny, like, so people are like, oh, good lad, you know? I don't know. I think people
just
don't...
Bop him on the nose. Can
but
you
that's,
imagine that?
That's probably the difference as to why I'm not in a world final and these people are. But I just think you've got your moment, like, you know, if you've ever watched that, if anyone's not seen this, go on Matt Stoney's Instagram and look back to last summer at the Commonwealth Games, and when they had to do the athlete walkouts, he does this class thing where he pretends he's got a golf club in his hand and like smashes one, right? And I just think it's world class. Like I like that video more. I remember that, and I don't even remember how he did in the race. You know? I think it's really good.
What does Callum Elson do then on the world stage when the camera pans to you? What's your go to at the moment?
I reckon he bottles it, Ben. I reckon he bottles it and just does a little smile to the camera.
If I'm at Tooting Bet BMC, I don't think I'm going to try and big myself up. But if I was on the world stage, I definitely think I'd pull something out of the bag.
Go on, Callum. From watching at home, like what was like the standout event for you? What got you going?
I did really like the women's 800. I thought that was great because that was one of the events where it was a stacked field, but you also had arguably the three people that everyone was talking about. And in many ways, in the 1500, there was maybe, of course, there was Ingebrigtsen, but then there was maybe five or six people that you would say are all equal ability. And because it was so wide open, I don't know if that detracts or adds to the anticipation, but in the 800, it was very much like, look, there's three people here that are all probably going to get a medal, but we don't know what order it's going to be in. And I thought Mary Morrow ran like an amazing race. I think she just didn't even think about the fact she was racing Keely or I think Mo. She just ran her own race, ran hard, did what she did, and probably proved a lot of people wrong, which I think was great. I think Mo, like, it shows how class you are that she literally doesn't give a shit about racing, wasn't even going to do Budapest, and then just, you know, casually got a bronze. I think that shows how good she is. I would like to see a bit more like fighting spirit and a bit more kind of grit from her. I do think a lot of it is just turning up and doing what she needs to do, which, you know, who knows? That's just how it comes across on the outside, I guess. And then obviously Keely getting the silver was great. Could she have got gold? I think if that race is run five times, I reckon she probably wins three out of the five based on the form that she's in, but it just didn't come together on the day. But I really did like the women's 800. I thought that was a great race. And I admittedly don't get as pumped up for the women's races just because I know way more about the men's races. I, like, you know, relate way more as like as a man to those races, potentially in the types of times that they're running. But this is one that I was actually super excited for. So yeah, that was a one that I enjoyed actually. Did you see that one, boys? Were you in the stadium for that?
Oh, I missed it, mate. I was speaking to Katir, yeah.
Oh, I was watching. I watched it. This is the evening where me and Lewis watched from having some grub. Because that's the other thing, right? With the timings of the stadiums, it was really awkward to fit dinner in. Because we'd leave for the stadium about 6 and then wouldn't get back until like 10:30, 11-ish. So if you wanted to have a proper dinner, it was very hard to squeeze in. So that's a race that we watched from a lovely little Italian restaurant.
Pizza me, mate. Pizza me, 11 o'clock at night. That was my dinner.
Found a nice little burger joint that was open until like 1 a.m. That was amazing. Oh. Yeah.
I have to find that next time.
But yeah, that was a great race.
Only other thing, Ben, I didn't know if you wanted to say one, but just shout out to Ben Patterson for getting that bronze.
Yeah, definitely.
In the men's 800, because what a beast. Like, his coach, Dave, is a legend, and like, if you don't follow him on Instagram, you should, because his take on it's just interesting seeing it from a coach's angle anyway. And I've chatted to them both a fair few times at British Champs, and like him, he made a really good point where he said Ben could have been so happy just to make the final and say, hey, I'm a world finalist and I'm only 21, like, job's a good one. But that's just not in his nature. He was like, actually, I'm a killer. Like, I'm going to really go for the medal here. I'm going to approach this like I almost could win. And to see him get a medal after getting a Commonwealth bronze as well last year, I think, yeah, just world-class. Like,
yeah, I was dead chuffed for him.
Yeah.
I saw that one live in the stadium, and the way he found a gap on that last 100 metres, I was like, come on, lad. Like, I was absolutely buzzing for him.
Yeah, and such a nice lad as well. Like, proper just sound. You know,
yeah,
how
he came across really well.
You know, a lot of people, how, like, you know, and I'm sure I'd be this guy. If you had a world bronze, I'm sure I'd tell people I had a world bronze all the time. You know, like, I'd probably walk into a room like just presuming everyone knows and is going to respect me because I've got a world bronze. He just goes about his business, normal bloke, like, you know, lovely guy. So he deserves it. Fair play to him.
I think as well, he gave maybe one of the best post-race interviews that I saw from.
Yeah, about his heart rate.
It was just like his
heart condition.
And it was like there was one question and he just riffed for like 90 seconds with this beautifully eloquent answer.
Yeah,
it's very, very good.
I think it was one of those where he hasn't had much like media attention like that. So it was just like a raw response. It wasn't like the usual, yeah, the race went well, I got in a good position. It was like a proper, well, actually, I've been in the shit for nearly a year. Like, I haven't been able to train. My heart's been buggered. I've put in like what hours and hours of work, and now this is the result.
Yeah, that's British. That I think that's British people, though. You know, like the young British people that are coming up, I think are all like that. They all give great interviews. You know, and they all. I think it's if you've grown up doing the books, doing university stuff, doing BMCs, like, and you're one of the ones that has made it out of these 20 or 30 guys that you've been racing against since you're under 13. Like, I think you're not just speaking for yourself. You're like speaking on. You think you're speaking on behalf of like where you've come from and what you've done. If you know what I mean. And I think, you know, it is a great interview. If you watch some of the BMC interviews, people like that speak in the exact same way, where it's very candid. It's like, hey, look, I turned up. Everyone thought I was shit. I did really well. Like, if that's how you feel, just say it, because people are going to relate
I
a lot
really
more
like
to it.
that
So,
from Ben.
no, I think it's awesome. I think it's great. Yeah, really good. So I think that's a nice little World Champs roundup, boys, actually. Very wholesome end.
Yeah, I think so
Yeah,
too.
I agree.
Couple of other bits of news just to quickly go through. Mr. Butcher, Andy, has announced that he's going to be doing the New York Marathon as his debut, which will be exciting to see.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how fast he runs at the big half this weekend. I think he's doing big half, isn't he?
Yes, is that this weekend?
Yeah,
Yeah, this Sunday.
3rd of September.
This Sunday. Yeah, that's the trials for the World Road Champs. So there's a lot of guys going for it. I think you need to run 62:30. And
Is Ellis doing it this year?
Yeah, he is.
yes,
Oh, nice.
Ellis is doing it. Yeah, Farah's doing it.
He's got that big paycheck for his not so last race.
So we believe, yeah. Sessamon, there's loads of people, to be fair, doing it. Johnny Mellor's doing it.
Nice. That's on Sunday. We'll be able to watch it on telly, won't we?
That's Sunday, yeah. So that'll be interesting. Because
Adam Clark too. Get on, Clarkie.
because
Go on, Clarkie.
Butchart's PB's only like just under 63, but that was at New York, which by all accounts is a horrific half marathon course. It's a pretty tough one, I think. So
What do you reckon he runs in for the New York Marathon? He's put a little sweepstake on it now.
what's New York like? Is that hilly?
It's got a few bridges in it, which do make it a little bit tough.
I reckon he runs like.
I'm going to say 210.
Nah, I reckon he runs like 212 high or 213. Two
Oh.
212, I reckon. 212.
What do you
Yeah,
reckon, Tom?
I'd probably go more towards Callum's end of the spectrum. If you look at course record, it's 205 from 2011, so it's not the fastest
Yeah, that's
course
true.
in the world. For a debut, anything can happen. I would love him to run like 208, right? But come on. Yeah, I'd
I
say
mean,
211, 212.
in my head, doing New York in November surely means like you just want to get your first marathon under your belt to get the learnings for a fast April
Yeah,
marathon. So surely it's
defo.
going to be like a fast London marathon. But right now you just want to kind of, you know,
See how
get
your
one of
body
the four. Yeah,
responds.
you want to do one so you can practice. Then you want to do a fast London marathon and try and get the Olympic time and then do the Olympic marathon. I'm guessing that'll be a lot of people that like Emil and stuff. That'll be their, you know, plans. But who knows? When is the Olympics next year? I think it's quite late, isn't it, the Olympics?
It's in like 11 months, 10 months from now. So I presume, is it July?
Oh, July to August,
Yeah, July to August.
yeah. So could you get away with the London Marathon in? Is it April London Marathon?
Yeah,
You
it would be
probably,
a tight turnaround.
yeah. You wouldn't want to, really, would you? Actually,
No, I
so
doubt
maybe I'm chatting out my ass. Yeah. Also, other guy that I wanted to just say, Edward Cheserek's making his debut. Which for most listeners on the pod, you've probably never heard of this bloke, but he was basically they call him King Ches. He was like the best, or is the best, American college runner of all time. Won like 25 national titles or something ridiculous in 4 years. But interestingly, sponsored by Skechers. And
Oh, wow.
And Skechers spent all their cash. This is well documented, by the way. This is very well documented. I'm not just making this up. Skechers like decided, should we sign like a lot of people or one bloke with all of our money?
Yeah.
And basically Cheserek just said like it was life-changing money for his family back at home that he got offered. So he was like, yeah, sound, I'll do it. And he's not really done anything. He's still run amazingly, but nothing too impressive since. But I wanted to ask, boys, what's the Skechers super shoe saying? You ever tried it? Like, is it a good marathon shoe? What, you know, will they have to make a new one for him or what?
I've never tried it. I think he'll probably have something different on feet. But I used to watch, there's the whole Flow Track series
So
on
good. So good.
Cheserek, which is unbelievable,
His
by the way,
workouts
if
are
you've not
sick.
seen it.
And it's Haas on the bike, isn't it, with him?
Yeah. It's so good. Yeah, it's like five years ago, odd, I think, that those were posted. Hang on. Yeah, just had a look now. One of them is on 1.4 million views, and it's him doing just like a continuous tempo.
It's on like a main road, isn't it?
Yeah.
I know the exact video you're talking about.
Yeah. I haven't seen it. I need to watch that.
Yeah, check them out. It's like Sweat Elite before Sweat Elite was Sweat Elite.
Yeah, basically. And I think in that they interview Haas, and they just say like, "Why did he sign for Skechers?" And I'm pretty sure he says what I just said. I'm looking at the Skechers shoe now. The Skechers Go Run Speed Elite Hyper.
Yeah.
Well, if anyone from Skechers is listening, we'll review a pair.
Interesting.
Yeah,
I've never tried any Skechers shoes, but I've heard some.
You know what? They
some
go
good
down
things.
Really well. Yeah. So the Go Max, something like that. Go Max or Road Max 5. Max Road 5. That's the bloody one. I got there eventually. I've heard that is genuinely like a very, very good running shoe, but you can pick it up for like 70 quid at Sports Direct. I think they do make good shoes. I'll just be interested to see what he's wearing on race day and whether they really go after that, you know, that market.
Interesting.
Yeah, you can buy them
one to watch.
Spencers as well, if you're interested.
Yeah, Skechers have a mad for context. This guy's run a 3:49 mile and he's 17 times national champion.
He's 29 years old now. Yeah, I thought he was a young gun, but
no, he's been around for literally ages.
And he's making his marathon debut.
But Skechers, they have loads of retail space, don't they? Like if you go to your local shopping centre, like there's probably a Skechers shop.
Mm.
But like I've never seen anyone with Skechers on their feet. Do you get what I mean?
40 runs, loves them.
Shout out to him.
My mum wears them. Middle-aged women, I think, absolutely bloody love a pair of Skechers.
Fair.
Yeah, they're more like a walking comfy shoe, aren't they, than a top-level running shoe. But maybe that'll change. Mr. Cesarek.
They just signed Harry Kane, didn't they?
Oh, yeah, they did, didn't they?
What?
In the football world, yeah.
Yeah. Harry Kane signed with Skechers.
What, so he wears Skechers boots?
Yeah, they got a Skechers boot. Yeah.
What are they doing, man?
They're
first
following
article,
the Cesarek model.
Harry Kane had blisters on both feet wearing Skechers boots. That's literally the first article.
Brilliant. I love that. Anything else in the news section this week, lads? Or should we wrap things up?
Other than, actually, they're not going to see it because this is going out tomorrow, isn't it? Is this going up tomorrow?
Yeah.
Okay, well, if you're listening to this on Friday, then last night you watched the Zurich Diamond League and you know exactly what happened, but that's what we're going to watch tonight. So
we haven't got a clue what happened.
Yeah, that's coming up.
Nice.
It's stacked. It's absolutely filled to the rafters, isn't it, that Diamond League? Because it's basically everybody from the world champs.
Who do you reckon wins?
Well, the 1500?
Yeah.
Nordas.
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
Nah, did you not see Nordas after the 5K? He was
out. Oh, yeah, he was fucked after that.
He was shagged. Surely someone's going to win that didn't make the final, no?
Gourley. Is Gourley in it?
Yeah, Gourley's in it. He did make
the final. I reckon it's his time.
Yeah, maybe Nagus, though. Nagus is like a bit of an animal, isn't he?
Yeah. Mm. He's had a good few days to recover now as well.
Hopefully Sam Tanner wins so I can whip out that picture of me and him. I'm just praying for that. I literally live for that. The whole
instantly
of
best mates with Sam Tanner.
The whole of last year, I was just sitting on that picture of me and Jake Whiteman finishing first and second at British Champs Heat, just praying that he beat Jakob. And then as soon as he beat Jakob, I put it out and I didn't tell anyone it was a heat, just so they presumed it was a real race.
I love that. I love how you're honest about it. Fair play.
Yeah. Well, I can't lie. Kind of people know that it's bullshit. Like I didn't. You know what I mean? Anyway.
Yeah.
Funny times. Cool. Anything else?
Just a listener shout out. I wanted to give one to Mr. Cole Running. He put out a training video this week. He's training for a 67-minute half, and he gave the podcast a double shout out in his video. So I thought,
shout out. What's that?
Thanks, Mr. Cole. He said he listened to the podcast on his run, and then he referred back to Callum's use of his interesting map that he's been put into the test. And Cole's also done it. So there you go. Influencer Callum Elson.
I'll tell you what, boys. I've just looked at the start list and you said, tell you two people that, this is actually going to be world-class tonight. Laros is in it. Little Nils Laros.
Oh, yeah.
George Mills is in it from a British point of view.
Mildy.
And Cheruiyot, who obviously didn't make the final.
Oh, wow. Redemption story
Oh,
right there.
No. Sorry, it's not Timothy. It's not Timothy. It's Reynold.
It's his brother.
Is that actually his brother or?
No, I doubt it.
Okay, fair enough. Thanks for your honesty. Sweet boy.
But, yeah, I think that wraps it up. I just wanted to remind people that if they do want to send listeners questions into the podcast, they can do so via runitthreewayspodcast@gmail.com. It's a lengthy one, but if you type that in, send us a question and you might feature in next week's pod. But other than that, I think that's it for this week.
Yeah, and the only other reminder is if you haven't yet given us a 5-star review on Spotify, then make sure you do that.
Anything else to add, Tom?
No, but what Callum said, I think as far as reviews are concerned, Spotify, so thank you to everybody who's done that. 577.
Yeah, let's try and get to 600. By next episode, so 23 people out there, if you've not done it, you just do your thing and message us to say that you've done it and we'll say thanks.
What a great incentive.
Yeah, there you go. A big thank you from Mr. Callum Elson. Yeah. Awesome. Well, on that note, speak to you next week, boys.
Yeah, good to catch up, boys. Have a great week. See you soon.
Ciao, ciao.
Bye-bye. We'll be right back.